Good morning. Today's daf is daf Samach Dalet, page 64. We were still on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, 63b, and the topic that the Gemara was discussing was the issue of Piska, which is locking in a price. Just to review some basic concepts, the biblical prohibition of not charging interest, not biting the possessions of your friend, refers to ribis ketzutza, where it's a very set timeline, very clear communication. The lender tells the borrower, here's $100 on condition, and in a month from now you'll give me back $102. And the borrower agreed. So no matter what happens, in a month from now the borrower is going to have to give $102, more than what he got use of. That is interest, and that's prohibited by the Torah. But the prohibition of interest taking is so severe. The lender has the prohibition, the borrower has the prohibition, the guarantor of the loan has the prohibition, the witnesses who sign the loan has the prohibition. The sages also created many, many forms of rabbinic interest to keep people away from violating this prohibition. One of the forms that they created is the law of sa'a b'sa'a, that I can't borrow an item to return that type of item. I can't borrow a barrel of wheat with the understanding that a month later I'll return a barrel of wheat. Because if I borrow a barrel of wheat, wheat fluctuates in price. It will likely, possibly happen that the wheat I borrowed a month earlier was worth 20. The wheat I pay back a month later is worth 30, and it looks like interest. So that's not allowed. Borrowing wheat to return wheat is not allowed. Another form of rabbinic interest that's not allowed is I'm not allowed to go to a friend and say to him, listen, I'm going to pay you $20 now. You'll have use of the $20. In a month from now, you'll give me wheat based on, you'll give me, two cups worth of wheat. Because maybe in a month from now, by the time he gives me the 2 cups worth of wheat, the 2 cups worth of wheat are going to be worth $25. And again, it's going to look like interest. I gave him $20. He had use of it for a month because I didn't get anything right away. And then he gives me back a month later something worth $25. That's called piska, locking in a price. However, we learned that you can lock in a price if the prices have already been set. Let's say I give him $20 now so that he'll deliver to me in a month 2 cups worth of wheat. And right now, 2 cups worth of wheat are worth $20. And everybody knows that. That's the going price. If the going price has been established, then it doesn't look like interest. Because on the contrary, when I give him the $20, I basically have already gotten the wheat. Because that's the price for wheat. He can go get the wheat from me right now. If he doesn't have it, he can go get it from somebody else. So I've basically acquired the wheat. Since I've acquired the wheat and the wheat then goes up in value, that's my gain. That's not called that he gave, doesn't even look like he's giving me back interest. So that's the topic that we're dealing with. We're dealing with this transaction called piska, locking in a price, and saying that this transaction, if what I locked in the price of, the prices had already been set, that's not considered something that looks like interest. So let's start again on the very bottom of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Amar Rava, Rava said, Hashad Amar Rabbi Yanai, now the Rabbi Yanai said, Mali Hein, Mali Demehen. What's the difference between the fruit or the value of the fruit? That if I locked in a price, I gave my friend $20 worth of wheat. I gave him $20 to get 2 cups worth of wheat. And right now, 2 cups worth of wheat are worth $20. And I said, you'll deliver it to me over the next 12 months, whenever. And I locked in a price. So then even if when I come to collect that which I locked in, he doesn't want to give me the wheat anymore. He wants to give you the money. It's okay. And if by then wheat is worth $30 and he gives me $30 worth of money, it's okay. Because what's the difference between giving me the fruit or giving me the value of the fruit? So if we say that, we also say, Mali Dmeyen Umali Hein Nami Arminen. If we say that the value is the same as the fruit, we would say that the value is the same as the fruit the other way too. Just like when he pays me that which I locked in, he could pay me wheat, or he could pay me value of wheat. When I give him money, so that's the equivalent. So when he has the money in his hands, it's the equivalent of him having the wheat in his hands. Even if he himself doesn't have wheat that he could lock into a price for me, if he has the value of wheat, and that's the set price all around, it's as if he has wheat, because he can go find it from somebody else.
And therefore, poskin al shar shebashuk, we can do this piska transaction once there are established prices in the markets. Afal pi she'ein lo, even though the person I'm giving the $20 to doesn't have wheat, when I give him $20, that's fine, since it's already been established, the 2 cups of wheat right now. Go for $20. He can say, okay, Zev, I'm going to give you 2 cups of wheat over the next 12 months. He has $20. And I already have the 2 cups of wheat. What do you mean I have the 2 cups of wheat? He doesn't even have it to sell it to me. Yeah, but he can go to anybody to buy it because that's the set price. So it's as if I have it.
The set price now for delivery.
Correct. It's the set price. Now the price will change probably over time. We'll see that that's helpful, right? Because if there's the possibility of deflation, it makes it look less like a loan. The whole point of a loan is that I, the lender, have no possibility of loss, but just lots and lots and lots of upside. The longer you hold on to it, the more I get from it. That's very unfair. But if I have the possibility of loss too, there's deflation, there's a possibility of losing, that's better. That makes it look more and more like a sale and less like the loan that the Torah doesn't like. Eis ve'Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua l'Rava, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, challenged Rava. We learned in a Braisa yesterday that if I go to someone who owes me 100 and I say to him, listen, I need my 100 because I have to buy wheat. He says, no problem. Forget about the 100. Now I owe you 100 worth of wheat. And I come a month later, I say, okay, give me the 100 worth of wheat. I have to buy wine. He says, forget about the wheat. I owe you the 100 worth of wine. So kulam im yeshlo, all of these different, you know, redefining of the obligations. If he has wheat, if he has wine, if he has oil, mutter, it's allowed. I mean, no, but if he, the guy who's trying to redefine the debt into, you know, a purchase of wheat for later delivery, or there a purchase of wine for later delivery, he himself doesn't have wine to deliver, so it's not allowed. So why is it not allowed? The prices are set, and you just said that if he has the value, it's the equivalent of him having the fruit. Amaluhu, they said to him, no, there it was different. Because hasam halva, hacha zvine. It's very different. There, we're talking about debts, right? We're talking about a debt over there. He owed me money. I say to him, "Give me the money that you owe me." He says, "No, I won't give you the money. I'll give you the wheat." It started off as a loan. I had lent him money. He said, "Now instead of the loan, I'll give you wheat." So that's very different. We can't say that since it started off as a loan, but now when he's trying to redefine it, he owes money, so he has the possibility of going and getting wheat. He doesn't have the possibility of going and getting wheat. He has a debt that he owes. How do we know he doesn't have the cash to go get wheat? So he's trying to take what is a loan and make it a different type of a loan. So that's a problem. If I would actually give him cash and the prices are already set, and I say, okay, now go get for me here. I'm giving you cash for wheat at this price, and he can go get the wheat. That would be fine. That's a sale. But that's not what's going on here. Here it was a loan. So when it was a loan and now there's just a debt, he's just turning the loan from one form to another form. If he doesn't have the wheat itself, he couldn't have sold the wheat because he doesn't have it to sell it. What, he's going to go get it? He can't even get it. He doesn't have cash to go get it. So it's just that he owes it to me. He has to somehow get it. So it's all a loan. Then it's all a loan. It's problematic. It looks like interest. But here we're talking about a sale. Rabban Rav Yosef Dami Tarvayu, Rabban Rav Yosef both said, my time, Omer Rabbanan, Poskan al Shar Shebashuk, Fafa Pisha Enlo. Why did the Rabbanan say that we can do the Piska transaction? I can give my friend $20 for 2 cups worth of wheat, even if he doesn't have wheat right now. If the price is set, it's fair. He'll deliver it to me later. So Amar Lay, so they gave a different explanation. The reason is because I can tell the guy that I gave the $20 to, Shkilu Tivusach, take away your favor that you're going to go, you know, get wheat for me. Shad Yachizra, throw it on the thorns. Maya, honestly, what are you doing for me? You have a lizuzi. If I wouldn't give you the $20 and I would keep the $20 for myself, you'd have a lizuzi biyadi. If I'd have the money in my own hand, have a mazmidim behini vishili bezula, I would go right now and find 2 cups worth of wheat at the low prices in the local towns, Hini and Shili. So since you're not doing anything for me by my giving you money for, you know, wheat at the current prices, you're not helping me in any way. So it doesn't look like interest. Amale Abayler of Yosef. Abayah said to Rav Yosef, Elameata, if that's your logic, it should be that the other rabbinic form of interest shouldn't be a rabbinic form of interest. Mutalil vosa basa. It should be permissible for me to borrow a barrel of wheat with the agreement that I will repay in a month's time a barrel of wheat, which we know is not allowed rabbinically, but it should be permitted. Why? Mishum Damatzi Amarle. I should be, you know, the lender should be able to tell me, Shkilati Vusach, get rid of your favor that you're going to repay me the barrel. Shadya chizra, throw your favor onto the thorns. Damarle, he could tell me, chiti de kadchi ba kalbai, if I would never have given you the barrel of wheat, would I have had any loss? Would my barrel suddenly rot? My barrel's not going to suddenly rot. I would have the wheat. So give me back in a month's time the wheat. You're not doing anything for me. Amarle, so he said to him, no. Hasam alva. There, it does start as a loan. He gave me the barrel, something I borrowed. And he said, pay me back a barrel. So it starts as a loan, and then there is the possibility of appreciation. It looks like the loan gets paid back with more. Looks like interest. Here, the reason why we're saying that if I give my friend money, and there's already set prices for the goods that I'm ordering from him, and we lock in a deal, it's not a problem, even if the prices now go up, and by the time he delivers it to me, it's worth more. It's not a problem, because he didn't really do anything for me. I could have gotten the stuff myself. That's because it starts as a sale. It starts as a sale. It doesn't look like a loan. It started as a sale. I bought something from him. So it starts as a sale. Doesn't look like interest so easily. And now that he's not really doing me a favor, it certainly doesn't look like interest, and that's why it's allowed.
Rabbi, like all the Jews, they find loopholes. Can they call this a late fee and add to it?
That's a big part of the laws of interest. That's a big part.
That's a big part.
It's a big part. Amar le Ada bar Abba le Rava. So Ada bar Abba said to Rava, one second, you're saying that the reason why Pisgah is allowed, I can prepay and lock in a price. And that's not considered a form of rabbinic interest, because when I prepay, I make a claim, I'm not really getting anything from this guy. I could have done it all myself. I could have gone and bought the stuff myself. But he does do me a favor. But by the Mesav Zuzula Sefsara, if I would want to go buy wheat myself, I'd have to be paying some money to the broker who would find me the wheat. And by the fact that this guy's going to deliver the wheat to me, I'm saved spending money on a broker. Amalei, so he said back to him, the Kayayev Leinami. Well, maybe the whole case of when I can prepay is when I also give the value of the broker fee. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi said, no, broker fees don't count. Zuzi Dinchi, Abdullah Safsarise. If a man has cash, he doesn't need a broker. In other words, when there's a guy who's looking to buy wheat, so who wants to sell wheat to him? Nobody wants to sell wheat to him. So he has to find a broker who's got lots of wheat available, and he'll get wheat from the broker. But if a man has cash, cash is king. All the people who have wheat are looking for the guys with cash. They say, forget about the brokers. We want to give him wheat ourselves because we want to get his cash. When people have lots of cash and good credit, so the sellers cut out the brokers and are happy to sell to him. So therefore, this man who had cash, who says to the person that he ordered the wheat from, you didn't do me a favor, because I could have gone and bought the wheat myself. The guy can't say, well, I did do you a favor because of me, you didn't have to go look for a broker. Because I wouldn't need a broker. I wouldn't need a broker and have to give a broker a fee. I'm the guy with cash. The guy with cash, all the farmers are pursuing him to try to sell to him, to get the cash from him. And therefore, you never did me anything. And since you didn't do me anything, it's not considered something that looks like interest. Next Gemara. Rabbi and Rav Yosef, Dami Tarvai, Rabbi and Rav Yosef both said, Haiman di Yoev Zuza, a man who gives money to lock in a price before the prices have been firmed up. Atara Harifa, when it's the very early prices, it's just beginning to get wheat to market, and they have the initial prices. We know these prices are going to change quickly. You know, it's this guy is saying this, the guy next to him is already still saying something else. They haven't gotten to a uniform price yet. It's an early price. So if you wanted to lock in the deal, you gave money for the guy at the earliest deal. You have to go to the threshing floor to actually get the wheat delivered to you at that price. So I said, what do you mean? What's gained? You already gave him the money. What's gained by you going to the threshing floor now of this guy? Lamai. Ilamikna, that by going to the threshing floor, you acquire it. That's not true. Hello, Connie. You don't acquire by showing up in the threshing floor, and giving cash doesn't make the movable grain yours yet either. You have to pick up the grain. You haven't done that. So, ila kabuli ale mishapara, if it's the fact that once you go to the threshing floor of the guy who you're buying from, so now if he would renege on the deal, he would be deserving of a curse. Even kilomas chazi, nami makabul ale mishapara. Even if you didn't go to the threshing floor, he would have a curse if he would renege on the deal, because we learned in the Mishnah earlier that any time I give money to a seller for something, if he now reneges on the deal, he deserves a curse. So what do I need to go to the threshing floor for? So the Gemara explains like this. Lo'olam, no, it is to have him someone who deserves a curse if he reneges. Lo'olam, l'kabuli alei, mishapara. And the answer is like this. Ma diyav zuzi atara harifa. Anybody who puts cash down to try to lock in the early most prices, what normally he does, because the pricing is so fluid and it's such a chaotic marketplace, the sellers know that this guy put money down at two or three different suppliers. He went to two or three different people trying to lock in their prices because it's all chaotic. And that's why the seller figures like this. If he's going to now show, he gave me the money, and he shows up at my threshing floor, now I know that he's really buying from me. And since he's buying from me, all right, the deal is a done deal. If I change my mind, I deserve a curse. But Elo, if he doesn't show up at my threshing floor, the seller can say, Amina, I could renege. I deserve a curse for having gotten money and reneging. No. Here I knew that you never really meant it. You gave the money also to other people. And I say, Ashkachat peret despir me to do. You found fruits. You found grain that was better than mine, drier, more easier, turned into flour. Vashakas, that's what you decided to take. Rav Ashi explained, Hashadamer, now that you say that the whole point of why the buyer has to also show up at the threshing floor is Mishul Mismach Daita, so that the seller should feel secure that the deal was done. Afilu Ashkechei Beshuka, even if the buyer finds the seller in the market. Vamalein, he says, Samcha Daita, listen, I gave you the money a week ago. I'm coming to get it. I'm relying on you. That's already enough for the deal to be done. And the seller could not change his mind without getting a curse brought down upon him. And now a very important Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman said, Klal Rabisa, the basic concept of interest, is that Kol Agar Natar Le Aser. Any reward for waiting with the money is what's prohibited. Hashem does not allow a situation that I gave my money to Jason to use for a month, and because I gave him a month's time to use my money, he now has to give me back more. He has to sort of pay me a rental fee for having had use of the money. That's what's awesome. So therefore, it applies two ways. It applies if I, the lender, give money to Jason and say, okay, Jason, in a month's time, you'll give me back the money after you've used it and you'll add to it. That would be ribis d'oraisa. And here's another form it would be prohibited. Let's say I'm a seller. I'm selling stuff. I sell gemaros. Jason comes and I want to order a set of gemaros. I say, well, you know, I don't have gemaros right now. But if you'll pay me, if you give me the money up front, I'll only deliver the Gemara in 2 months from now. I'll give it to you at a lower price. Normally, the list price is $100. You give me the money now, I'll give it to you for $70.
That's a
prepaid discount. That's also Ribis d'oraisa. Because what's happening? He gives me the money. He doesn't have the goods yet. So what did he do? He gave me time with his money before I gave him the goods. And I, therefore, because I had time with the money, I'm giving him something of value. Instead of charging him $100, I'm only charging him $70. So that I'm rewarding him for the fact that I had use of his money. He's getting value in return for allowing someone to have time with his money. That's not allowed. That's ribis d'oraisa.
That's not allowed.
That's not allowed. That's ribis d'oraisa. That's biblical ribis. V'amar Rav Nachman said, "Hi man, the yoiv zuzu lakira." A man who's buying wax. He's buying spheres of wax. So he goes to the wax farmer. He says, I'll give you money for the wax. Even before you give me the wax, I'll give you the money. And you'll have money for a while before you deliver the goods to me. V'kazli dalet v'dalet. And the price right now is 4 spheres of wax for a zuz. V'amalei, so the guy who's so happy to get money without yet having to deliver the goods, says, okay, you're giving me the money now. You're prepaying. I'll give you, hey, I'll give you 5 things of wax for the zuz that you gave me. So, isnu gabe, if he actually has the wax, shari, it's allowed. Lesnu gabe, if he doesn't have the wax and he tried to make the deal, aser, it's not allowed.
But he doesn't have the wax means that the buyer takes the risk of default. But the seller may end up
never shows up the merchant.
No, they usually would guarantee their deals. There's no risk.
So if they guarantee, then for sure it's ribis, because then he has recourse to the principal. But if he has no recourse, could you not say that it's basically an equity investment where he has the risk of loss?
Right. Well, we'll see. The issue of risk is going to come up a lot in today's daf.
What happens instead of giving him money, he gives him a star?
That wouldn't be. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Pshita, this is obvious. Answer the Gemara, Lo Tzricha, the case is, Disle Ashroi B'masa, the seller himself has people who owe him wax. So, Malutim would have thought to say, "Kivin yisli ashra abimasa," since there are people in town who owe him wax. Then he would be allowed to do this, because it's like a guy who says, "Here, I'm gonna very short term interest is allowed. If I say, okay, I'll borrow money just because I need a couple of minutes for my son to go get the key, then it is allowed." So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush is that it's not considered very short term, because given the Mechaser Guvaina, since the seller hasn't yet collected the wax, Kamad Lesnu Gabe, so he doesn't really have it. So since he doesn't really have it, he can't go and sell it. It's a loan where it's going, he's getting money, access of money for a month to go get stuff, and then it's going to go up in value. He's going to give back that which is more. So that's already, he's paying for the usage of the money. Rav Nachman taught another law. Haiman the Osef Pshiti Michavri, a man who borrows prutos from his friend, Vishkache Pei Tufin, and he finds that there are more prutos than what he had ordered. If it's likely that it was just a mistake of, you know, counting it out, he has to return those extra prutos. If it wasn't a mistake in counting, that means the friend, who the lender, gave him a gift of some prutos. How do you know if it's a mistake in the counting? The norm in those days was they used to have bundles of 5 or 10 coins together. So a person might have made a mistake. Instead of, you know, let's say I ordered 50 coins, he ended up giving me 55, because he counted the bundles, he counted out 11 bundles as 10, when really he was supposed to give me 10. So that's a mistake, I should just give it back. But if I ordered 50 coins and he gave me 51 coins, now the coins are always in bundles of 10, that's not a mistake. That must have been that he deliberately wanted to give me an extra one. Amalei Rav Acha Brei de Ravel Rav Ashi. However, Rav Ach, the son of Rav, said to Rav Ashi, if the lender to me is a very tough guy who never gives gifts, my, what are we going to say? I can assume that he gave me some extra coins as a gift? Amarlei, so he said to him, no, still I don't need to return it. If it was a mistake, clearly a mistake, and I give it back. If it wasn't a mistake, Dilma Migzal Gazle, maybe he stole from me, because he's a tough guy. He's returning it to me by throwing it into the money that I'm borrowing from him. And that's the way he's returning to me that which he stole from me. The time is, we went to Nebraisa. I steal from my friend. I'm embarrassed to tell him that I stole from him. So I just slip the money into a group of money that I'm paying him back. Yatsa, I fulfilled my obligation of returning that which I stole. Now, but let's say this man who I borrowed from just came now from a different country. He never stole from me. So my, what's the halacha then? And he's a tough guy who doesn't give gifts. I'm going to say, no, maybe he stole from someone else, and he was embarrassed to return to him the stolen object. So he's telling me, the borrower, I'm sorry, he's saying, Ki yazif ploni pshita minach, when that person is going to borrow from you, ivla le b'cheshbon, you slip into him some of these stolen goods. And again, it's really not intending for me to return it to him. He is intending for me to give it to that other person when he borrows from me. Apparently, that's the point, yeah. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana told a story. I was sitting at the end of the lesson of Rav, of Rav's drasha. And I heard him talk about pumpkins, dlu and gourds. I didn't know what he was talking about. After Rav got up and left the yeshiva, Amri Lehu, I asked the students, my kari to come, Rav, why was Rav talking about gourds? Amruli, they said, Hachi kam Rav. This is what Rav was saying. Haima diyoev zuzi legino yakari. A man who gives money to a gardener for gourds. For kalazla asara kari b'nei zarta. The prices that, you know, a single zuz will get you 10 little gourds the size of pinkies, the size of little fingers. That's the price. And the gardener says to him, okay, Yehivnulach, I'll give you, because you're giving me the money now and I'm not giving you the gourds yet, I'm going to give you gourds, 10 gourds, b'nei garmida, each one the size of an amma, each one the size of an arm, instead of the size of a pinky, they'll be the size of an arm, because you're prepaying. I'll give you something much more, worth more than the current prices. So, is that considered interest?
So the question depends. Isnu, if the gardener has the gourd, so it's not interest, because he's making the deal, even though he's not delivering the goods, the deal is actually done. And so now the buyer's gourds are growing and appreciating. That's not interest. Sorry, that would be allowed. But lesnu, but if the gardener who's making this deal doesn't even have gourds, so he doesn't have what to sell. So it's basically he's going to have to run around and buy it. Okay, that's a loan. And now he's going to deliver something worth much more than what he got because he got access to the money earlier. So Aster, that's not allowed because it looks like interest.
But what if he has the gourds, but they're not given that size?
That's fine because since he has the gourds, the ownership of the gourds is transferred to the buyer. So now it appreciates in his domain, gets bigger in his domain. That's not interest.
And if there could be a hail storm and destroy the whole thing?
There is the possibility of loss,
but he
owns it. It would be the buyer's loss because it's already his. So Gemara says, "Pshita, of course, this is a simple halacha. Of course, it's a simple halacha." So what was Rav's chiddush? My answer is, "Mal detema." Without Rav, we would have thought to say, "Kivin the memelo karabu." Since the gourds grow on their own, even if he doesn't have it, or even if he does have it. Since they grow on their own. Since they're going to, right? What did we say? We said if he has big gourds, it's okay. If he doesn't have big gourds, it's not okay. So we say, so it's not the way I explain. What we're saying is, what Rav was saying was like this, that if the gardener made the deal, and the gardener has big gourds, so then the buyer got big gourds. Okay, the gardener's not delivering them right away. Fine, but he already has the big gourds. But if the gardener doesn't have big gourds, then it's not allowed. So, of course, if he doesn't have the big gourds, it's not allowed. It's interest. So the answer is no. Kivin mele karavu. He does have small gourds. Yeah. And I might have thought that since they grow on their own, shapir dummy, it's okay. Kamashmon, that's the chiddush, it's not okay. Since right now he's promising to deliver bigger gourds, and right now he doesn't have the big gourds. He only has the small gourds. So right now what he promised he can't deliver, it's going to grow. That's already considered interest.
Because he has an obligation to deliver them.
He has an obligation to deliver them.
So even if they are small, the ownership hasn't been transferred to the buyer.
Yes, that's right.
Why I thought we had this discussion. If it's a seed, if it's rooted or not rooted, and if this one sounds like it's rooted, small rooted.
Yeah.
If he told him you own these small rooted, right. On the
if he would have pointed them out, we said earlier it does belong to him. So maybe Rav disagrees with that. So Gemara says, Keman, who is Rav following? Answer the Gemara, Ki Hai Tana, is following the following Tana. The Tana lived in a Braisa. Haholech Lachlovas Izav. If someone is going to milk his goats, or Ligzozas Rechelov, or to cut off the wool from his sheep, or lirdosis kavarasa, or to cut out honeycombs from his beehive. Umitzo chaveru, and his friend comes and he finds him va'amar, and he says to him, "Mash izai kovos, whatever milk I'll get out of my goats, machu lecha, is sold to you now. Would you give me the money now? And I don't know how much milk is going to come out. We'll see. If a lot of milk will come out, you'll get a good profit. If over time you only get a little bit of milk, you'll end up losing." Or he says, "Mash recheli gozozos, whatever my sheep are going to produce in terms of wool, I'll deliver it to you, but you already give me the money now. Machu lechat, be sold to you now if you pay me now. Or mashe kavarti roda, whatever I'll take out of the beehive, the honey will be yours. I don't know how much there is there, but you have to give me already the money now. Machu lechat." Mutter, it's a little bit of a gamble.
That's a business, that's a
fair. So mutter, you're allowed to do that, because even if it turns out that he'll have more than the money that he pays, it's not that he's getting more because he let the guy have use of the money. No, he took a risk. That's right. And he could end up having less. But if I say to the guy, "You give me money now, and I'll produce for you 5 quarts of goat milk, no matter what. But you don't get the goat milk now. You'll get it over time."
How relevant is it if there's a marketplace for this at that time? Pricing.
Yeah, very relevant.
Price discovery. Very relevant. You need price discovery to make this deal.
Well, 1 second. Here, there is no marketplace. So, Masha Rechayelai goes those kach v'kach. I'm going to give you a certain amount of wool, and it's going to come over the next couple of months. Marchalachav, you pay me now for it. Masha Kavarti Rodobach kach v'kach. I'm going to give you a certain amount of honey, Marchalach. Now it's already usher. Because what's going on is,
I'm telling him, since you're giving me the money now, since you're prepaying and I'm only delivering over time, I'm giving it to you at a lower price. So I'm paying him for the fact that I have use of his money. That's the lesson of Rav. So now the Gemara says, so here what do you see? It's stuff that's growing on animals. But even though it's stuff that's growing on animals, we don't say, oh, as it'll grow, it's already considered here. Since right now we don't have the wool, or right now we don't have the honey, or right now we don't have the milk, it is considered interest. So that's like the view of Rav. Another version of my Rava. Rava said the opposite. That was what I had originally said. The Rava said that if a gardener is selling gourds, if he sells small gourds, and they're going to grow on their own to become bigger, so shop your dummy, you can sell it and get prepaid for the larger amount, because it's going to grow on its own. Ask the Gemara, I have a time, we just learned in this Braisa, that if I'm selling to him, you know, the wool that's going to come off of my sheep, or the honey that's going to come out of my honeycomb, kach v'kach, if I sold an amount, it's also, it's not allowed. So the Gemara says, hasam lav minei karavi. When you talk about honey in a honeycomb, the honey that's in it now is not going to increase. It's more bees are going to come. They're going to make new honey. New things are going to be created. So therefore, the shakli le'lahai, right, you take the milk out of the goat now, and new milk comes in its place. But when the gardener sells a bunch of big eggplants, but right now he only has small eggplants, and he's selling to me, okay, you pay me now, and I'll deliver 2 months from now big eggplants. So once there are the small eggplants, these small eggplants are going to grow on their own. So it's already here. I'm already getting what it is. The kishakli le'lahai, when if I were to take off these small eggplants, the bigger eggplants are not going to come in their place. So then it is considered that I already did a purchase, and that wouldn't be considered interest. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, a man is allowed to tell his friend, here are four coins, achavisa de chamra, for a barrel of wine, and itak, for if the barrel is going to go bad, birshusach, if it's going to go bad, if the wine's going to be spoiled, all right, you're going to have to keep it, and you're going to give me back the money. Yakara, if the wine is going to go up in value from being worth 4 zuz to being worth 10 zuz, so then like this, if the values are going to change, or it's going to go from 4 zuz to 2 zuz, easy, if it goes down in value, birshusi, I take the loss, I'll get it. If it goes up, I'll take the gain. That's allowed.
That's equity.
That's equity, exactly. When you can bear in the downside, that's not considered interest. Amalei Rav Shravi la'Abaye. Rav Shravi disagreed with Abaye. He said, I don't agree. Ha'ikarov l'schar. This is a situation where it's most likely that I will share in the upside. But rachok lehefsidhu. It's very unlikely that I'll share in the downside. Because if the wine spoils, I don't share in that loss. Only if the wine's value goes down. And when does wine value go down? Normally values go up. So that's not allowed. That looks like interest. Amalei Abaye said, no. Came to Makabla Lezula, since I accepted that if the wine value would go down, I would take that loss. Karov Lezel Lezeh, it means that I'm making a deal where it's likely that I'll gain, but it's also likely that I won't gain, and therefore that's already a purchase. That's not interest, and that is allowed. Talking about more laws of interest. Tamalves Chavero, if I lent to my friend, Lo Yadr B'chatzeiro Chinam, I shouldn't take any favors from him. I shouldn't live in his courtyard without paying him. And I shouldn't rent a room from him and pay him less than the prevailing market price. Why? Because he's doing me a favor, because I gave him a loan. That means that I'm gaining for the fact that he has use of my money over time. That is considered ribis. That is considered interest.
Pay the rent.
The full rent. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Yumi Yom Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef Bar Yumi said the name of Rav Nachman. We learned in Bava Kama. Even though the sages said, if I go into my friend's house and I live in his courtyard without even informing him, I don't need to pay him because it's Zenan of Zelo Chaser. He anyway wasn't going to rent it out to anyone. And in fact, he gains a little bit. I keep away the demons and I'm going to repair things that have to be repaired. Nevertheless, he'll vow, but if I lent him money, I can't go move into his empty room. He'll vow, if I lent him money with Arba Chatzer and I live in his house, I do need to pay him. Says the Gemara, my Kamash, what's the Chiddush? That's our Mishnah. It's Nina. We learned it. If I lent money to my friend, I shouldn't live in his room without paying. I can't pay him. I shouldn't live in the room and pay him less than the prevailing price. Because it's interest. So the Gemara says, no, I'll tell you what the Chiddush is. If I would have only had the Mishnah, I would have thought, when you have a room that's available for rent and a guy who's looking to rent rooms. So then when there is a monetary gain, I can't get a monetary gain if I already gave a guy the loan, because now it's interest. But if the man I gave the loan to has a room that he's not even renting, and I'm a person who's not even looking to rent, so it's not even a zenana, it's zelonana, because I would sleep in the street too, I don't care. So for me, it's really not a gain at all. Amalos, maybe then I could take it, kamash malan, even that I can't take, because it is interest. Ikadami, a different version. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Yumi, Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef Bar Yumi said in the name of Rav Nachman, Afal Pisha Amar Ador B'chatzer Chaver Shlomi Daito, Eino Tzarech La'alos Lo Sachar. Even though we've said that if I live in my friend's room without his permission, I don't need to pay him because he wasn't going to rent it out anyway, but he'll vay me. But if it's, my friend tells me, give me a loan, V'dur B'chatzeri, then you can live in my room, Tzarech La'alos Lo Sachar, I need to pay him. Even though he told me to live in the room, my timer, why? So, right? So we understand why, because it's interest. So now, my Damar Hilveyu, the version of the mission that said that if I already lent him, I can't live in the room. Koshkin Halveni, certainly if he tells me, lend me and live in the room, it's not allowed. My Damar Halveni, but the version that says only if he invited me in, I can't do it. Avil Hilveyu lo, but if I had lent him money, then I could move into the room. My time of why? Because came to me, Karl Lavadai to the Haki Osfe, since he never knew I was going to live in the room. And I never knew I was going to live in the room. And I never intended to live in the room. Leslan, but it's not considered getting an interest gift from him. Okay. A story of Yosef Bar Chama, Takif Abdu the Inshi, the Mask Buzuzi. Of Yosef Bar Chama, he used to grab slaves of people who owed him money, Favid Buavidita, make them work for him. Amalei Rava Breis, Rava's son said, my time of my hachi, how can my father do this? It's interest. You're going to get the money back, and you're getting a gift. You're getting work from these slaves. Amalei, he said, no, I'm not Rav Nachman, severely. I hold like Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, Avda nahom kresi lo shave. A slave's not even worth the bread that he eats in his stomach. In other words, a slave costs more than what he gives. You know, so I'm not getting anything from them. Amalei, so Rava said, Amad Rav Nachman going to Dari Avde. Rav Nachman said it about his slave, by a guy by the name of Dari, because Dari wasn't a worker. Merakid Beikuvi, he was a clown. He used to dance around in the stores, you know, entertaining people. He never worked. But Avda Achmina, but other slaves, Mi Amina, you don't say that a slave who does work for you is nothing. It's a gain. Why would anybody ever have a slave? It's a good question. So Amar Lei, Sir Rav Yosef Bar Chama said, the reason why I'm doing it is because I'm following the view of Rav Ketina, who said in the name of Rav. So Amar says, if a person grabs his friend's slave and makes him do some work, Potter doesn't need to pay the owner, because the owner is happy that his slave doesn't learn laziness and is being put to work. Welcome back, Jason.
Thank you.
Such a nice office.